And we're live. What's up, everyone? I am Ron Reed, Marketing Director here at Main Gear, and I have a very, very special guest today. I'll let you introduce yourself.
Hi. Hi, I'm Paul Genoa from Intel. I am a storage field expert. I'm based in New Jersey here, close to Main Gear.
Yes.
So it was very convenient. So Ron had me in.
Awesome. Where'd you say, Brett?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. There we go.
So, yeah, we wanted to do kind of like I know we haven't streamed in a while, so thank you all for tuning in today. We wanted to do kind of a deep dive into SSDs. So, you know, it used to be pretty straightforward, right? It was like, okay, I just buy an SSD, I put it in my system, and things have changed a lot. And we figured we would bring the SSD expert in to kind of help our audience with that. But we do have like a cool giveaway that we're doing during the stream. So we have an Intel 660p, a 512 M.2 SSD NVMe. We're basically going to be giving it to a person who asks a good question in chat. So I'm monitoring chat and so is Brent. So we want you guys to ask questions related to storage. Not random questions, and we'll pick one of the good questions. We'll get a really awesome M.2 NVMe SSD that we absolutely love here, the 660p. So I think Paul, where I kind of wanted to start this conversation was, like I alluded to in the beginning, it's a little for a person new into PC building or PCs. There's so much variation now across SSDs between SATA, M.2, PCIe, NVMe. So I thought it might be good to kind of like just start talking about kind of the different form factors that there are and then what kind of differentiates some stuff and then some of the really awesome stuff that's exclusive to Intel like Optane and things like that really kind of set you guys apart in the storage game.
Oh, sure. Yeah, it's changed a lot, and there are a lot of options now besides form factors. So everything was based on hard drives, spinning disk plotters for the longest time. They were 2.5-inch disks that spun, and we went from...
Very slowly.
5,400 RPM to 7,200 RPM, and I still use a bunch. I have a stack of them next to my desk.
I actually have, like... I think it's 3-4 terabyte hard drives in my PC still. I have a huge photo collection, so like, but that will probably be changing with how inexpensive SSDs have kind of gotten.
I still have PATA drives, parallel ATA. I've just recently found, and trying to find replacement parts are really hard lately. But so SSDs kind of followed on that. And initially, right, we had SATA 2.5-inch drives that fit in and replaced the hard drives that were there. And that's where it all started. And SSDs are just non-volatile. It's a memory technology, instead of flash-based technology, instead of storing things on magnetic media. SATA is a legacy hard drive protocol, and that's
from forever ago.
Yes.
I still remember seeing my first SATA drive. I was working at IT repair, and I remember being so like incredibly excited because like I had been dealing with like IDE all previously.
It was so much nicer. You get like a streamlined cable.
No jumpers.
Yeah. Oh, no jumpers. I forgot about jumpers. On master drive and slave drive, that was a pain. But so SATA, so here's an example of this is one of our SATA drives, right? SATA is, they're based on hard drive. The protocol is based on hard drive protocol. So there are some limitations to it. There's a lot of commands in the SATA protocol that we don't need.
Overhead in the way the technology that was designed that kind of limits the performance you get regardless of how fast the flash storage is.
And there's things we don't need. Like, do we need a command to park our drive heads anymore? No, but that's part of SATA. There's a park heads command. So the other big limitation of SATA is you can either read or you can write. You can't do them both at the same time.
I didn't actually know that.
So it limits the speed.
That's interesting.
So your speed is is really limited on SATA.
And that's why we saw like kind of like a plateau for a little bit. Every next generation of SSD was a little bit faster.
Yeah.
And we saw like pretty much everyone cap out at a certain point.
We're at the point where the media is faster than the bus now. So the next thing after that, and I think it's, 6 megabits per second or something around there, yep. that's SATA, it's just the bus max. So we look towards, well, what's the next thing? What can we do after SATA? And NVMe is really the evolution, or an evolution. So NVMe runs on PCI, and they're interchangeable, and a lot of people get confused, but sometimes people refer to it as a PCI SSD, and some people call it an NVMe SSD.
There is a little bit of confusion because we had SATA SSDs, and then we had basically SATA over an M.2 connection on a motherboard.
And that's actually this. This is an M.2
okay.
SATA drive.
So it's still SATA. So yeah. M.2 is really the connector. It's not the protocol or the technology that's empowering the storage.
Yes, and you can't see it on here, but there's little notches. So M.2, this is a 22 by 80.
It's like M.2. The size of a gum stick.
And it's 22 millimeters wide, 80 millimeters long is what that, 22 by 80. They make them in different sizes. So there's 22 by 42, which are really small, 22 by 110. And they're keyed differently. There's little notches in here, and these two notches indicate that this is a SATA one. So when you plug it in your PC will start talking SATA to it. There are other ones. This is an NVMe one. You can't really see the difference here, probably from here. But
I think this is the thing that confuses people, which is you can have a SATA SSD over M.2.
Yeah.
But what most people really want, and that's what we're excited about, are the NVMe solutions, which you were kind of explain how they're faster.
Okay. So NVMe, first of all, it runs on PCI. So PCI right off the bat is faster. PCI Gen 3 is 1 gigabit per second per lane. And
it's the same thing your graphics cards run through.
It's the same thing your graphics cards run. It will give you SATA, we said, was maxed out at 6 megabits per second. The PCI, a PCI slot for an SSD is going to be 4 gig.
Which is crazy,
so
crazy
you're
fast.
So much faster. NVMe is actually the protocol. Like I mentioned, the SATA, we have like protocol commands to park heads. In NVMe, we got rid of all that. So they streamlined that, got rid of a lot of garbage, legacy stuff, and they enabled things like you can read and write at the same time. So it makes it a much quicker interface.
Well, the thing that's exciting, and guys, I am checking questions. Like I mentioned, we're giving away a 660p 512 NVMe Intel SSD. We'll get to the questions in just a tiny bit. So the thing that's kind of exciting is, based on the throughput that you're saying, and in fact, we've seen there's a new version of PCIe that's coming.
Version four.
Faster.
It's double the speed.
Which is ridiculous. But what's exciting is we're like not capped out. Like we're still seeing generational, yes. There's a lot of room for improvement with this. And you guys have done some interesting things in that kind of avenue. I think it might make sense to kind of talk about the specific products that you have, because specifically the 660p, yep. I think is interesting, but maybe we'll start at the bottom of the stack with the SATA, and then where kind of things kind of situated in Intel's like a product stack.
So yeah, SATA is ubiquitous, right? I didn't bring an example of a 2.5-inch drive.
I think we all have probably seen
one. You've probably seen one.
Actually, have an old SATA SSD that's like this big on my shelf over there from when they it was like 8 gigabytes from when they first launched, and they couldn't fit them in like a normal
2.5. They're huge. That's kind of fun. I don't have one like that anymore. my first SATA drive was actually, I just pulled it from a machine that died, but it was actually limited to only 3 gig on the drive.
It's
and
crazy,
I was shocked at how slow it was compared to new drives. So you might think, okay, I build a machine, I'll put it in an SSD. They're not all equal, right? So a SATA drive is, they're all fine, and they're capped out pretty much at 6 gig right now. So, I mean, we offer a SATA drive. We offer it in 2.5 or M.2.
And we do offer, flavors. So we have the 500 series Intel drive, specifically the 256 gig, I guess, or 250
gig.
Yep,
yep.
As like our starting drive on our configurator. Like, I think SATA makes a lot of sense if you're budget limited.
Yes.
It can make it so that maybe you can, you know, upgrade your graphics card where you didn't have the budget to, or something.
And
like
that's
that.
Where SATA really has been a champion here is it for budget conscious builders, until the 660p really. So if you the 660, yep. So is an NVMe drive. Okay, so we can talk a little bit about the technology behind the NAND technology. So cost with these drives is all density per square millimeter of wafer. So how many bits can I fit on a wafer and then dice it into chips and put it on this drive?
Oh, and we actually had a question earlier, and they're like, well, why are solid-state drives so much more expensive than per gigabyte than mechanical hard drives?
There's a lot more to that manufacturing process. It's square millimeters of wafer. Magnetic media is a lot cheaper. If you think back to even a cassette tape, like magnetic media is cheaper to manufacture. I'm manufacturing a platter and I'm magnetizing it. And they do other cool things, like the newer drives, they put special air inside there, or I don't know what, helium, inert gases
they're,
and things
no,
like that.
No, there's helium-filled HDDs.
They do things like that to really speed it up. So I don't mean to minimize hard drive manufacturer, but it's really the media itself is more expensive. But if we can do stuff to decrease the cost of that media, our SSD prices will go down. And one of the things that we've done over the years, and you can see other how-tos online or live streams or whatever, going through MLC, SLC, TLC, and so on, drives. And what that is how many bits per transistor am I storing? Everything on here, it's all transistor-based. How much data am I storing in each transistor? So we went from SLC SLC, MLC, TLC, QLC.
So
is
it's
now
single layer, multi-layer, triple layer, and quad layer.
So now we're storing four bits on each transistor.
So does that make the memory less expensive because it's denser?
Yes.
Kind of doing the same work to make something that stores more?
Yes.
I guess?
Yes. It's the same amount of process steps in the factory where we're making this stuff. Making multi-layer. SSDs also went from planar to 32-layer to 64-layer. So we kind of stack cells on top of each other.
Trying to fit as much as you can in the same space that you have, essentially.
And from last year to this year, we are able to store about 33% more in the same exact space.
Oh, that's interesting.
So that's a huge amount, right, in just 1 year.
Now, there are technically kind of like traditionally disadvantages to getting denser, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you could probably explain it better than I can. But from what I understand, it gets a little bit, at least it used to, it would get a little bit slower as you got denser.
Yep. And as you move from these different technologies, from SLC, so single bit, and you can think of it, okay, I have a single bit I'm writing into a transistor. I just write or I read it. And it's more complicated than that, but essentially. And then if I have four bits, well, all of a sudden now I have to read back and I want to change one. I have to read all four, figure out which one I want to change, modify it.
That makes sense.
A very simple level, right? We can explain it that way. So the 660p is actually our first QLC-based drive. So it's NVMe, it's PCI, NVMe, interchangeable. It's QLC, but the really neat thing with this drive is it's QLC, but we can set aside a portion of this, and it's dynamic, behind-the-scenes magic. A portion of it is SLC, so it's really fast.
Gotcha. Okay.
And when I'm writing to it or reading to it, it's going to hit that SLC first. And then in the background, when my PC is idle, it copies it out
kind
to
of
the QLC.
Moves everything around. And yep. So that amount changes like as you use it?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, it's dynamic. So it has to do with how much free space you use. It's going to grab some of the free space and make you. It SLC okay. cache. And it really, it's neat that it can do this in the background. It turns out most consumer workloads, like your PC here, you're idle, right? Most people are idle 70% of the time. So
that makes total sense.
For a desktop user, even a gamer, you're idle most of the time. So in the background, I can copy.
Sean is giving us water. Apparently, oh. I look parched on the live you. Stream. So he could see that I was a little thirsty. So he
thank
decided
you.
To help
it's
us out. I appreciate it, Sean.
You're welcome.
So it's neat in that it's able to do that. So you get moving from this the 5 series to the 660, you're gonna get about 2 times the performance because it's NVMe. So you'll see about a 2x performance boost.
I think that's actually conservative, to be honest. Like, I know that's like, but when I've seen benchmarks, it's slightly more than from that, from like a sequential read and write kind of standpoint. It's actually like, I think from what I understand is the published numbers for that drive are like a little bit lower than like the benchmark numbers, but I guess maybe it changes depending on how full the drive is too.
Yeah, and benchmark, we were talking a little earlier. Yeah. Benchmarks are funny and they're hard to quantify because if I just run a crystal disk and slam this thing with a whole bunch of writes, it's not going to perform well because it's not doesn't have that idle time. This is designed for a real workload, not just a benchmark.
And I think the thing that's for me so exciting about the 660p is that when you look at the price of this drive, it's very close to a SATA SSD for the same capacity.
I looked yesterday and I think it's actually cheaper.
It's
cheaper than the SATA drive.
And that's
at
what's
this point.
That's what's crazy about it is that you know, you used to have to kind of make a decision about like, oh, do I want to put enough budget towards NVMe?
Right.
But now you can get something that performs substantially better than SATA, but isn't that much more expensive or sometimes the same cost. Now, I know someone had asked a question about longevity mm-hmm. of QLC. I know traditionally that was always kind of a worry, but I could be incorrect, but from what I understand is it's really like inconsequential for the way somebody uses a hard drive.
Yeah.
I think at least there used to be a lot of fear because
yes.
original SSDs were kind of terrible
yeah.
as far as the fact that like they would just, you know, oh, you had them for a year and then like you couldn't use them anymore.
Yeah.
So how is the longevity on this?
Well,
not specific numbers, just like kind of in general.
It's on the same par, and it gets back to what's your use case. You know, normal user, you're not going to see a difference. These things don't wear out, and I personally think that's one of our benefits. We offer a 5-year warranty on all these drives,
which is awesome.
So something happens,
especially considering how affordable the 660p is.
And all you do, enter in the serial number. There's a website, and you get a return if something, God forbid, goes wrong. But it really shouldn't be an issue for a regular consumer workload. If you're hammering the drive, if you're in a data center, yes, QLC, it
you'd
is
probably
want to
spend
a little bit
more on a higher
best,
offering.
But you would go for a higher or a higher end drive for something like that.
Yeah, and just anecdotal feedback, like we've been offering the 660p for a while, and customer feedback has been tremendous.
That's great.
It's been a reliable drive for us, so we haven't had like any problems. The one thing I really like about it is it's for like the average like startup time kind of benefit of NVMe, you're yeah. getting pretty much all of that out of there.
Yes.
Like where it performs yeah. lower than like your Optane drive, for example, which we could talk about, is more like specific kind of tasks.
Yes.
But for like the startup time kind of thing that most people get really excited about with
yes.
an NVMe drive, this gives you that whole experience.
And your normal stuff, what are you doing? You know, if you're a guy sitting at home doing emails and
45 Chrome tabs open.
Yeah, you're going to be fine with that. So So we had, you know, SATA. These happen to be all M.2 right now. But the other cool thing QLC affords us, gives us here is this is a 512 gig drive. It goes up to 2 terabytes. So I can
Which
get
is awesome.
A 2 terabyte drive at a pretty reasonable cost.
Well, and that's kind of addresses the concern that chat was having was like, you can get a really fast SSD and store all your games on it, which our customer, that's the big thing, right?
Yes. Yes. And that's where that is meant to fit. we have a higher end NAND drive just briefly before. And just to talk about the differences. So, okay, this is, you know, SATA, entry level NVMe drive, and this is a higher end NVMe drive. And this is about a 2 times performance difference, and this is about a 2 times performance difference.
Okay.
So if you jump to a 7 series, you will see a difference, and it doesn't have that dynamic cache, so you can hammer it a lot more.
So if you're, for example, maybe doing a lot of like
video
file
editing,
transfers, like stuff like that.
Yep.
You'd be better off with the higher end drive.
Yes. Yep. And the specs are slightly faster as well on that drive. So the specs are faster. I said 2x, right? So it's
right.
it depends on what you're doing. If you'd actually notice that your boot time, you may or may not notice. Depends on how much stuff you have.
I think that's why we've sold so many of the 660p is just because it's so attractive in that it's like an average kind of PC user.
Yep.
But you guys. Have and I saw the O word used a couple times in chat.
Because I have an Optane shirt and I didn't even show you. I have Optane socks, which are really cool.
You should have brought me some Optane socks. But so you guys have an exclusive storage technology that's it's only I believe it's only offered by Intel.
It's only offered by Intel. It's not exclusive to us.
I remember I said that, and then I remember some news article. But
it was a joint R&D development between us, Intel and Micron, and our first fabs are jointly owned.
Okay.
Intel and Micron. They haven't come out with a product yet, but they certainly could at any point.
So what? Optane is probably, because we've done some streams on it before, and it is, it can be very confusing because of the way the product stack was. I think I'd like to personally focus on the actual Optane PCIe SSDs, but you can kind of briefly go over what Optane.
What makes it different?
Yeah.
Okay, so these are.
Chat wants Optane socks, by the way.
Oh, aren't they awesome? So these are all NAND SSD. Any other SSD you buy in the market, doesn't matter from who, is all essentially the same thing.
And so is the storage in my phone, a flash drive.
They're all flash, and they're all, so it's all the same thing. It's well understood. You are basically, you know, fundamentally go down into what is happening, and I'm storing electrons in a transistor, and that's it. I'm storing electrons in a transistor for all these. And there's variations in how we do that, us, competitors, things like that. Optane is fundamentally different. We're not doing that. We're not storing electrons on a transistor. It's totally different. on these drives, NAND-based drives, they're grouped in big blocks. When I do an erase, and that's one of the reasons endurance was an issue, when I write something and then I have to change it, well, I have to read that whole block and erase a whole block of information, even though I only wanted to change a little bit.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
So I have to read a page, rewrite a page, and erase a page at a time, even if I just wanted to change
one
letter in a file. Like it was, it's a big operation, and that causes wear. And there's ways to make that less and less in these drives.
Yeah, like drives over provision, right? So they have extra space that they don't use to kind of replace those.
Exactly. So if I have, think of it as, you know, a long string of info, you know, I'm going to write this whole thing and I just want to change one letter. Well, instead of writing it back here at the top line, I'll write it down at the bottom.
Gotcha.
And I'll change the letter. And then later on in the background, the drive will clean that all up.
Gotcha.
Optane doesn't do that. Optane, I want to change a letter. It just goes in and changes the letter. It operates differently. And since I'm not storing charge in a transistor in the same way, it actually provides us much lower latency. So we've talked with all these two different terms, right? Bandwidth and latency. We've talked about how fast these drives are, how much bandwidth, how much IOPS or read or write speed are on these drives.
And that's what we're used to measuring hard drives with. Like when you Google search like a review of a hard drive, it's usually just like a list of like read and write speeds and things like that that are kind of easy to measure and quantify. Optane's a little different.
Because it's read and write speeds, if I look at it, it's a great drive, but it's not knock your socks off, right? Where it really shines is that latency. So latency, as opposed to bandwidth, my pure how much data can I push to this drive and read from it, latency is how fast can I get that data back? If I ask the drive for data, how fast does it come back to me? And Optane is ridiculously fast, like hundreds of times faster than NAND drives, almost approaching DRAM latency speeds. So it's really good for latency, you know, things that worry about that. If you mentioned boot time, okay, if I can get my data to the CPU quicker to boot,
way faster,
it's going to boot quicker. Yeah. The other cool thing is because I don't have this whole thing where I have to, you know, modify and rewrite and stuff like that. It's really good when I have a lot of reads and a lot of writes.
So it has longer longevity in comparison to NAND?
It also has longer longevity. NAND drives, we rate them on how many drive writes per day,
right?
Usually. So if I had a 1 terabyte drive and it's one drive write per day, and a client
and that's writing to the whole capacity of the drive.
Yeah, right. So a client drive is usually somewhere.
Which no one does, but.
Nobody would. But let's say you were a client drive somewhere on 0.3, 0.5. Let's just pick a number and say 0.5 drive writes per day. If I had a terabyte drive, I could write half a terabyte a day for the life of that drive. So for 5 years, Russ. Nobody's going to do that. No. That's a lot.
You're barely writing any data.
You barely
for the most part, yeah.
But if you did, an Optane drive starts at 30 drive writes a day.
That's amazing.
So, and we have drives that'll do 60 drive writes a day. So imagine writing 60 terabytes to a drive a day. Like, what kind of crazy stuff are you doing to do that?
So you, when we were talking beforehand, you said you had wanted to bring like a
demo,
but you can explain it because that would be
okay.
I think it's a good like real world scenario. I mean, it's a specialized one, but it shows the kind of big difference that it can give.
We have a couple where does Optane shine, right? If I'm a guy, I'm running Microsoft Office, it's not going to make a difference over something like a 7 series. You just won't see that benefit. Where you really see it is content creation. All different sorts of things. We had a really cool demo I was going to bring where we do DaVinci Resolve.
So that's like a...
like a photo or video rendering.
Yeah, I know a lot of people do color correction in DaVinci.
Yes, that's where it's... And it's way too complicated for me.
They sell like $30,000 control boxes that are...
I learn the 10 knobs I need to run the demo on this. But we run a demo where I have a 2 minute long 4K video, and I personally have an 8700K processor in a box, and I ran the demo on a 5 series, on a 7 series, and on the 905, and I had it render it. The 5, I don't even remember. It was like took 20 minutes or something to render this 2 minute video. The 7 series, it rendered in about 2 minutes, let's say, give or take. And then I popped in the Optane 905, and it went down to 28 seconds.
That's really interesting, because what that basically means is that in that particular workload, the system was bottlenecked by the performance of the drive,
yes.
Right?
Yes, yep, and that's exactly. So then I ran it a second time with... the task manager performance monitor open. And I only looked at these two cases. But you can see with the 7 series, the CPU was like 50% occupied for that whole 2 minutes.
And when I went to this Optane one, my CPU occupancy jumped to 100.
That's awesome. So basically the processor was kind of processing stuff faster than the drive could give it to it.
Yes, it was idle. You know, I paid for this expensive CPU, yeah, and I wasn't using it with this thing. Now, it's a K-series, so I haven't gone and done anything. But what I could do, since it was maxed out, it was bottlenecked. The drive was only 70% occupied.
Oh, with really? This,
but the CPU was at 100. It was maxed out.
We need a 9900K then.
Or it's an 8700. I could overclock it. And I haven't like gone and fooled around with that, but I could possibly overclock the 87 and see, can I speed it up beyond the 28 seconds?
That's a great example because it's, you know, when we've talked about Optane, it's one of the hardest things that we've had, because it's a product that when you use it, you kind of understand where it excels.
Yeah.
Like frequently, like you, if it's a drive that you have in your PC, you realize how responsive it is, but it's hard to like illustrate it.
And looking at your performance monitor is a great way. I mean, I have the luxury of actually having a drive and being able to try these out, but performance monitor, like, and seeing that, I'm not using my CPU. Like, what's the bottleneck here?
It's so, because you guys do have, like, other options. Like, so what else can you use Optane for? I know you brought something like ridiculous with you, right?
Oh, that's not Optane.
Oh, that's not Optane? Okay.
Well, so Optane is it's content creation and all different types. We do another one where we do digital animation, and it speeds it up a crazy amount with digital animation, because digital animations now are like particle simulation. I'm looking at billions of particles and where are they and all this. And if I'm a studio doing digital animation or anything like this, beyond just the speed up, which is tremendous,
you know, the time is money like in those situations.
Four right? or something times. Yeah. It's the wear on the drives too. If I
there's
was
a huge files.
Huge files. Yeah. I'm reading and writing so much data that a NAND, you know, if a NAND, this digital animation case we have where we do an animation, we do the Maelstrom animation. It's 7 seconds of video, and you know, we were able to take it on a normal drive is something like takes 35 hours to animate the 7 seconds of video, and it goes down to like 4 hours or something like that.
That's amazing.
But beyond that is, and something around that, it might be 7 hours, but you know, it's single digits, let's say. The wear is crazy. So, okay, if I was doing that same thing and I'm a company that does digital animations for a 40-hour work week type of thing, I'd wear out my NAND drive in 6 months. The Optane drive would last over 4 years.
That's incredible.
So right there it pays for itself. So there's a lot of benefits like that. Music production, my son does music in FL Studio, and we've played around with different drives. We can have so many more samples open at a time.
That's a good point, because it's a ton of files that tend to be kind of like all over the drive.
Yes, they're scattered, random. They're small, random, fragmented files. And that's what Optane is.
That's
awesome
great at. To know. We did a build for a group called Noisia. They're like I can't remember, somewhere in Europe. And it was a problem they always had, was because they use like a ton of plugins and samples.
Oh, yeah.
And we had upgraded them to, at the time it was, I think it was like a 16 core Intel CPU. I think it was before Optane. That's really interesting. Like, how much kind of performance that you can kind of get from that.
I can have over 1,000 samples open at one time and see absolutely no performance degradation in Optane. Whereas even on a 7 series, it stutters when I'm scrolling and things like that. So it's kind of neat. So that's Optane. I mean, the other thing and less interesting, but Optane is confusing because of our branding, I would say.
Yeah.
So this is an Optane drive.
That's the feedback I would give you guys.
In the black box is the Optane drive. We also came out with a entry level product called Optane Memory. Hence the confusion, right?
Hence Optane, the confusion.
Optane Memory. Optane Memory is a small M.2. They're blue, you know, small M.2. And 16, 32 gig. And it's meant to accelerate a spinning drive. So if I didn't buy even a SATA SSD, and I have a terabyte, you know, spinning disk, I could put this Optane in the spinning disk machine and use it to basically cache your drive.
It's similar to, and I know you guys, I don't think you like to make the comparison, but the accelerating SSDs, I think when Windows 8, where it would like find files that you were using frequently and store them on the SSD.
Yeah.
And then, and then when you access them, it pulls them from that instead.
Yep.
So that you get the performance benefit. So like, especially things like your Windows startup would be very much to...
It knows enough to pull the Windows startup on here. And it, my startup from a spinning drive, I have a 5400 RPM Western Digital drive or something like that. And it went from a minute and a half to seconds to start up. You know, 30 seconds, something like that. So it was a significant change.
That's awesome. And
just loading programs too, you know, booting up Office or running through games. If you're always running games on a 1 terabyte hard drive, they take forever. And just level loads on like World of Warcraft go from minutes to seconds.
That's super cool. Brent is going to yell at me if I don't mention something. Oh, he's actually typing in chat. I thought Brent was trying to tell me to remind everyone about our charity stream tomorrow. Because apparently the screen I'm looking at over here is actually what he's typing into. But we, just as an aside, we're doing a charity stream tomorrow at 368 New York City. So, Brent, what time is that?
Around
2-ish. So 2 o'clock. So if you guys are watching. Guys, thank you for tuning in. I want to answer some questions. And we do have a 660p to give away, so I'll give you guys a little bit to ask some questions. Is there anything else specifically you wanted to touch on, Paul?
I didn't show you my ruler, which is kind of neat, but it's not for clients. But we talked about form factors, right? These happen to all be M.2. This particular Optane drive is a U.2. So U.2, Optane drives,
about U.2.
They come in add-in cards or U.2, which is 2.5 inch, but it has a different connector, right? So that's how most drives have been. And if you look at a data center, you know, a lot of them are U.2 or 2.5 inch. So it's based on the same size as an old spinning drive. So we said about a year or 2 years ago, what would a more ideal form factor be for drives? And they came out with this ruler form factor. Now, you won't see it in a client machine, but I thought I'd bring it up because it's new.
I don't think that would fit in my desktop.
This is PCI in the back, right? And they'll plug into a rack. But your data center here, your web server might eventually use something like that. It plugs right into a rack. They're hot pluggable. I have cooling on all sides. This is heat synced. This particular one is 4 terabytes, but that's they'll cool. go up to 32 terabytes in this.
That's really cool.
And I can fit 32 in 1U of rack space, which gives us 1 petabyte in 1U of rack, which is
that's awesome.
Crazy, right, when you think about it.
I mean, that's really awesome.
So just to bring up, you know, some new innovations. We're always innovating where we can.
I'm assuming I can't remember what I was going to say, actually. So, guys, if you have questions about storage, we'll do a stream again soon where we can answer kind of generic kind of questions. But I want to keep this mostly to, like doesn't have to be about Intel drives, just kind of, like, general SSD questions. I mean, I think we can kind of sum it up. You want an NVMe drive, ideally.
If you can afford it. And, the real reason, you know, two reasons people were going for SATA in the past was SATA was relatively cheap.
Right.
And not all motherboards had support for NVMe. And
now you have, like,
that's changed.
Two M.2 ports on most motherboards to support NVMe drives.
And
it's
NVMe
very convenient
is cheap
to integrate in because you don't have to run any cables to it, which is really cool.
That is nice.
It goes right on the motherboard. It's very easy to install, which is cool for a first-time PC builder because it's simpler to kind of integrate as well. And it's crazy fast.
Yes. It's a lot. You know, 2x the performance of any SATA drive.
Okay, what is the future to SSDs? If you want, you can just say Optane as an answer.
Well, that would be my answer. And you can see. Okay, so I'll answer Intel's right vision here is we are taking a two-pronged approach. We're saying QLC for cheap storage, cheap bulk storage, where I can get you QLC 32 terabyte drives relatively cheap, and Optane for fast storage. So for fast or for caching.
So do you see the change happening mostly in capacity then? Or do you see like a, because we mentioned there's a lot of overhead still available with PCIe. Do you see the speeds really kind of continuing to grow?
They'll grow. So we said, okay, we're at PCIe Gen 3 right now, and our interfaces are 4 gig. Gen 4 will be 8 gig, which is more than we need. I think initially drives that come out on that 8 on the PCIe Gen 4, instead of using 4 lanes, we'll keep it at 4 gig interfaces, but there's room to grow.
I mean, we're still not really up to that.
We're not saturating PCIe yet. So we'll continue to grow, but for now what we see bulk storage as kind of replacing warm storage or hard drives with QLC, and then for really top-end performance or for caching large data sets on Optane.
Another person was asking if how was the heat on these? So they mentioned like a cooling setup they had in their PC, basically a positive cooling in the tower. So with like just regular airflow through the case, how are these from like a heat standpoint?
You know, what generates heat is power, right? So they all have to conform to this M.2 spec, which is fairly low power.
Okay.
You'd have to look. So I don't know if the question is comparing one drive to another or not, but the 6 series, especially any of these, if you compare it to a hard drive, they generate less heat than a hard drive, which is kind of cool. So you're going to use less electricity, it's less noise, and less heat than a hard drive.
Also, a lot of motherboards come with thermal solutions for M.2 drives now. They're not all great. I've seen reports that some of those thermal solutions actually
make it worse, yeah,
depending on the airflow in your case. Ideally, you want to have airflow over the board in general. It's a good idea.
And we work with the motherboard vendors to make sure that they're situated the right way. If you look, some of them have components on both sides of the M.2.
There's even some boards where they go behind the motherboard, especially in small form factors where there's not a lot of room.
Yes.
What about rating these drives?
You could raid them like the six series. Yeah, you would get, depending on what raid, you know, more performance.
Yeah, you get more benefit because each M.2 slot they're plugging into is going to be utilizing. They're not sharing lanes on most boards, so
you get, if you're doing a RAID 0 or something, you're going to get more performance. You get double the performance.
Right.
Essentially.
Now, what I will say from personal experience. Is I would not have a machine at home with RAID 0. I find that modern NVMe drives are so snappy that it's not worth the way I usually explain it to customers is like adding RAID is adding complexity to your configuration, and it adds like a failure point essentially. Mm-hmm. A drive could get out of sync and then you lose all the data on it.
If your RAID breaks, you're screwed.
Exactly.
I'm more into data protection lately than RAID. With all the digital photos and everything, I have a NAS. I actually have two NASs. I have one that backs up to the other one overnight, and then it backs up to an external drive, and then it backs up to Amazon Glacier once a week.
So I use Backblaze for my data backup because it's. If you want an online data backup and you don't want to spend a ton of money, Backblaze is like $6 a month for the whole PC.
Yeah.
And then we have a server as well. And then that I back up to in local drives. And yes, I am looking at Twitch chat. I'm just trying to follow everything. What was your question that you wanted answered? I apologize. I can go back. Do you think there will be a new style of drive that could come out and blow SSDs out of the water?
The latest thing is really this Optane. So everything right now, all SSDs up till now are NAND-based. They're essentially the same. What is revolutionary, one thing to take away, the Optane is revolutionary. The rest of these are all similar. This is the thing that's going to blow traditional SSDs out of the water. And it's still immature. This is the first run of the Optane-based SSDs. So it has room to go. There are other things, coming out. I just saw announcement or press release from Intel today on magneto-resistive RAM, which is not new. It's not a new concept, but there are other things that will come along, but this is really, it's here, and we're able to make these in bulk. We make these drives up to 1.5 terabytes already, Optane drives.
That's awesome. Let's see. Someone wanted you to just take the drive out of the box again?
Oh, yeah, sure.
And then, Brent, I'm going to need you to pick a winner.
This is a...
Brent is in charge of picking the winner of the hard drive.
So,
that's an interesting looking drive. It's a pretty heavy duty heat sink on it.
It's a U.2. It has a decent heat sink on there.
Is that current? I didn't realize you were still making U.2.
Let me see.
U.2 drives.
I don't know what I pulled it out from below my desk. Yes, this is a 905.
I always forget about it because like U.2 was like in a weird boat where it came out before in the interim when it was like the PCIe, like your 750, I guess, drive was in a PCIe slot. And then there was a U.2 version
also
of it.
Too.
Then M.2 kind of superseded U.2, at least as far as like most use case by like PC builders.
And we might see other form factors, right? We have add-in cards. Add-in cards are kind of big. U.2 was, it's a little bit smaller. These are all M.2. I showed this big ruler. There's actually a small version of this too, which may take over M.2 at certain point. Okay. But I mean, these are all future guesses. Who
I
knows?
Think there's also M.2 to U.2 adapters.
Yes, I'm running my demo on a M.2 to U.2 adapter. Okay.
So there's a lot of flexibility as far as form factors go. Cool. Do you guys have any other questions, or was there something else you wanted to?
I totally forgot. We talked about it briefly before to mention the Teton Glacier. Which is kind of neat. You asked if there was anything else coming out. So okay, we have Optane. We have all these others. We announced at CES a new product, which is basically merges, the QLC drive with Optane. So we put on, its code name is Teton Glacier. It was announced, so you can look it up. But it's basically a QLC drive that has a little bit of Optane on the same drive. And it gives us, storage of QLC. So I can get these one terabyte drives and relatively, inexpensively priced, but at performance better than the 7 series.
Is that function the same way as if you had, put in a separate Optane drive? And like a M.2 or an NVMe SSD?
It's almost like if we cached. Remember I talked about Optane memory and how you can cache a hard drive with it? Well, you can use Optane memory and cache a slow SATA drive with it. Because this is NVMe and it's Optane, it could. So it's basically doing that, but on one M.2 slot.
Someone's asking the current limits on how many M.2 drives you could put in a computer. So the limitation is really PCIe lanes. Depending on what chipset and platform you have, is really going to be more the limitation of that. On something like X299, you have a lot more PCIe lanes, and they make add-in cards that will basically allow you to put like four drives into one 16x PCIe slot.
Yeah.
So it more varies on your configuration, because if you have graphics cards and like you only have so many PCIe lanes to plug stuff into.
It depends. Yeah, it depends on your motherboard, right? Some have them integrated in, or a couple.
On average, on like
you see two.
You're seeing like two, some boards with three, and then there are adding cards that allow, I think, up to four on one 16x slot. And it looks like Gold Colt is the winner. Okay, I wasn't wrong. Gold Colt is the winner of the drive. You just message Brent on Discord. And speaking of Discord, Brent, am I allowed to talk about Discord? Yeah. I'm allowed to talk about Discord. So we have a Discord community. So if you want to be part of everything that we're doing, recommend signing up to our Discord. All of our stream squad and partners are hanging out in there as well. So if you want to chat with the people that we're working with as part of our Be Next initiative, I highly recommend joining our Discord. There's also Main Gear employees in there that chat and kind of share memes and photos of builds from inside the office and stuff like that. But yeah, Paul, it was great talking with you. I think this is valuable. Like I mentioned at the top, like it's easy as someone who does this every day to think it's very simple and like, but it, you know, a lot has changed in the last couple of years, and I think it's good that we kind of went over.
It really has. I saw one of the questions come up about what PCs do I have. I built my first two PCs in like 10 years and within the last year. I built a closed loop water cooled system, and that blew me away. Like I haven't done
water
before. And a lot has changed. It has actually gotten, I feel like, a lot simpler in some respects. Like
it has. I will agree with that. Like as an enthusiast, the things that haven't changed, which is kind of the value add Main Gear has, is just like, while I think it's the physical assembly part of the PC is easier, and the compatibility side isn't as complicated. Like, there's still the aspect of if something breaks, how do you troubleshoot it?
Yes.
That stuff hasn't changed. So, you know, if you build a new PC and suddenly it doesn't turn on, like, what do you do if you don't have spare RAM and a spare power supply? And like, like, it's easy when you're a company like us, or maybe you're someone who's been doing it for 15 years and you're like, oh, let me go to my pile of RAM that I have in the corner. Yes. You know, like, it's easy for us to forget about that because somebody just starting out is literally just going to have one of every component. Like,
yes,
they don't know if the PSU they got is bad. They don't have another power supply to plug in.
Pray you didn't fry something.
Right.
And electrostatic discharge. So if you're building something in the winter, ground yourself on an outlet, please.
Don't wear a sweater.
Yes.
Or do it on carpeting. Awesome. I think we're going to wrap it up. Guys, thank you so much for tuning in. I know it's been a long time. We want to stream as often as possible. And we'll definitely have to have you come by again, Paul, maybe when the next generation of something comes out or,
run a demo or something like that.
Would be cool. To kind of show off whatever your new technology is. And, like I said, a big fan of this drive specifically, the 660p.
Price is right for the performance.
The price is excellent. And if you have any questions about your configuration, and if this didn't answer all the questions you had and you're configuring a PC, just give us a call and we'll help you through this. All of our sales guys know the difference between NVMe and SATA and M.2 and all these things. So. It's one of the benefits of buying from us is we can answer the questions for you. Everyone's saying to bring Paul back, so cool. I think they're fans of your Paul.
Thanks. It's awesome. My socks, I know.
It's definitely the Optane
socks.
I'll
have to bring Optane socks as a
gift. If I don't get Optane socks the next time you come here, I don't know if I'm ever speaking to you again. Thank you so much, Paul. And
thanks for having me.
Guys, if you have any feedback for us, just post in social media or the comments. We read them all. And awesome, guys. Thank you so much. And